Make sure this season to check out Walter's self-poured beer wall, which includes 24 different items, including Fireside Chat, Vienna Lager, and Green City IPA. Visit waltersdc.com for more information.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Here's a swing and a line drive to left. That's going to be a base hit for Lipscomb toward the line. Rounding third is Ruiz. He'll come in to score. Vargas is into third. Big turn for Lipscomb. As the left fielder, Wade Jr., gets it back in quickly towards second, holding Lipscomb at first, but he has an RBI single. And the Nationals now with the run home and Ruiz in the dugout at runners first and third, one out. We're all even. The Nationals one and the Giants one. Snell coming set. Runner at first goes, but they have him picked off. Now Garcia's in a rundown. They run him back toward first. Now the runner breaks for the plate. The throw home. Lipscomb diving in. Gets the hand in there. Safe is the call as he gets by the catcher, Bailey. And the Nationals lead 3-1. Garcia ends up at second base. First baseman Flores is off the bag in front of the runner in the cutout of the pitch. Swung on. Line drive. Right field toward the line. That's going to get down off the base of the wall. Gallo has scored. Heading for third, Ruiz will be held there by third base coach Ricky Gutierrez as Ildemar Vargas pulls it a second with a line drive double off the base of the right field wall. It's now Washington 6 and San Francisco 1.
And welcome to Nats Chat for Tuesday, April 9th, 2024, along with MassinSports.com Nationals insider Mark Zuckerman, who is at Oracle Park in San Francisco. I'm Al Galdi, host of the Al Galdi podcast. It was on Monday that we, of course, had the total solar eclipse, something that is very rare. It was late night on Monday night that we got something that has been rare in recent years, a Nationals winning streak. But we now have our first Nats winning streak of this 2024 Nationals regular season. An 8-1 win at the San Francisco Giants in game one of a 3-game series and game one of a 9-game trip out west. The Nats now are 4-6. We this season are offering shout outs in episodes of the Nats Chat podcast. If you want to send a happy birthday or a congratulations or a hello or whatever to someone who you care about, email Tim Shovers at natschatpodcast@gmail.com. We have a birthday shout out coming up later in the show. But Mark, the Nats didn't just win late night on Monday night. They dominated late night on Monday night. This was a convincing, easy breezy kind of win. This also was a game in which Trevor Williams outdueled Blake Snell. Raise your hand if you expected that. But this was a nice job by the Nats in this game.
What they did so well, Al, in this game, and this is something that Davey Martinez has really wanted to see more of, and I think we've mentioned it a few times here in the season's first week and a half, they were patient at the plate. They made Blake Snell work, and they got him out of the game early. Now, because of his situation, he signed late. He didn't have a spring training. This is his debut. They knew his pitch count was going to be low, and they knew this is a guy who tends to be a bit erratic, let's say, with what he throws up there, even though he's often extremely effective. And they went in with a plan, and they stuck with it, and they executed it, I think, to perfection. Knocking him out after three innings, I think, was a stroke of genius on their part to do that, get to the Giants' bullpen early. You hope that they could do this more often, but specifically in this game against this opponent, it absolutely had to be the plan going in. And credit to them, because they pulled it off. They executed it exactly how you'd want to do it.
Did a really nice job. You know, as we tape this approaching 2 a.m. Eastern on Tuesday, I don't know that now is the time to have this conversation. But the Blake Snell circumstance is, I think, worth exploring at some point. Here's a guy, a high-level MLB free agent. He, like other high-level MLB free agents, lingered on the open market to where he didn't sign with a team until agreeing on a contract with the Giants on March 19th. I mean, how does that happen? Why does that happen? And he did not look like himself in this game for sure. 3 runs in 3 innings, 72 pitches, a mere 39 strikes versus 33 balls. But like you said, credit to the Nats for working Snell and really working all of the Giants pitchers in this game. I mean, the Giants did not look very good in this game, and the Nats played a big part making the Giants look that way. The Nats in this game, 8 runs, 10 hits, a whopping 7 walks, 4-for-14 with runners in scoring position, 4-for-4 on stolen bases. The Nats scored 3 runs in the top of the second, 3 runs in the top of the fifth, and 2 runs in the top of the ninth. And the Nats did all of this despite being without C.J. Abrams for a third consecutive game due to a left pinky bone bruise. You wrote about the Abrams circumstance for MassInSports.com. Where did things stand with Abrams?
It looks like everything should be fine. I watched him take batting practice. I watched him take grounders at short before the game, and everything appeared to be fine. The thought was that he could be available if they needed him later in the game. Obviously, they didn't with the comfortable lead. So I think barring some kind of setback that either we didn't see or something else that happens between now and then, I think we'll see him in the lineup on Tuesday, which is great. But let's give them credit because they did still put together some really quality at-bats without arguably their best hitter in there. And we think of C.J. Abrams as the table setter. And the guy, when he gets on, is going to turn singles and walks into doubles and steal bases. Well, you know what? The other guys took care of that in this game. They were all getting on and they were running like crazy. This has become kind of an identity of this team early on. They've only been caught stealing once. I think it's 20 of 21 now. They've been really good, and it's not just one or two guys. They're getting this from a lot of players, and I think it's smart given what their personnel is and the way they're trying to play games and to win games. If they can keep doing that, that's an effective way for them to add some offense without having the kind of pop that a lot of other teams have.
For sure. And a guy who played a big role in the Nats stealing bases late night on Monday night was Trey Lipscomb. He was really good in this game, starting third baseman and number 8 batter, 3-for-5 with an RBI single and 2 other singles, and 3-for-3 on stolen bases. Lipscomb in that Nats 3-run second, a 1-out RBI single to left field to tie the game at 1. And he had to steal a second base and a steal of home for a 3-1 Nats lead as he and Luis Garcia Jr. pulled off a double steal that interestingly happened off Garcia getting caught in a rundown between first base and second base. But I tell you, the slide by Lipscomb into home plate was so good on this play. He slid under/around the attempted tag of the Giants catcher, Patrick Bailey. Really good stuff. And then Lipscomb further tormented Bailey in the top of the fourth, 2-out single to left center field and to steal a second base. And that steal prompted a throwing error by Bailey, and Lipscomb in the top of the eighth, a 1-out single up the middle on a 1-2 pitch. He needed a good game, and he had a good game on Monday night.
He had been struggling there a little bit, and I think he's learning, as all big leaguers do. You get off to a great start. Now there's a little bit of a book on you. They start to figure some things out, and now it's up to you to adjust and figure out how to bounce back. And he is, in a short time, shown the ability to do that there. He felt really good about it. This is not a guy who... he's got some speed, but he's not like some burner. He's not C.J. Abrams, Jacob Young. That's not really supposed to be the biggest part of his game. But he said, coming up here and talking every day with Gerardo Parra, the new first base coach, he's getting this information and seeing video and learning how to study pitchers and what their moves are and when the right situations are to run. And he's taking advantage of it. We're seeing it from other guys too. It's early. Let's see how this all plays out. But remember when they hired Gerardo Parra, I said two things that they seem to be emphasizing here. Outfield defense, we know Parra was known for that, and base running. He was going to be in charge of that. So far, so good in that regard. And Lipscomb, at the very least, was openly giving credit to Parra for helping him recognize when it's appropriate to run and recognizing you can run more than maybe you have in the minor leagues.
Now, with the base running, we did have what happened with Luis Garcia Jr. So we know that Davey Martinez gets frustrated with Garcia. The play did work out. Do we ding Garcia for getting caught in a rundown, or do we praise Garcia for the double steal ultimately being a success?
Well, I think this is a ding him and just be glad that it didn't turn into a disaster, because as Davey told us afterwards, that was actually supposed to be a safety squeeze. And somebody missed a sign there and Luis took off. And the next thing you know, it's all, you know, chaos out there. Now, credit to them, they played it right. He got into the rundown and gave Lipscomb time to read that and score. And then credit to Garcia for then also staying safe after all that. He didn't even get tagged out. So the process maybe wasn't great, but the result was fine. But yeah, I think that's put that in the ding category on Luis Garcia. And he got away with it. But I'm sure Davey deep down was thinking to himself, like, no, we're not doing this again. And Garcia had a wild trip around the bases between that. Then Jacob Young did put down a sacrifice bunt after that with Garcia on second. He didn't break on the bunt. He just stood there and waited for the throw to first and then took third. Now, again, it worked. Didn't look real pretty, but it worked. I don't know what are we asking these guys to go textbook and do it the proper way, or we just want them to get the result right in the end? In this case, they got the result right, even if it wasn't all that pretty to watch.
Yeah, and Garcia, to his credit, is hitting. He, in this game, went 1-for-4 with an RBI infield single, so he does come through with yet another productive plate appearance. Hey, Al Galdi here for Window Nation. Baseball season finally is here. Spring finally is here. And that means a great offer from Window Nation for listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. If your windows are cracked or leaking and or won't open or stay open, now is the time to call Window Nation, which is offering the following deal to listeners of the Nats Chat podcast. 2 free windows for every 2 windows that you buy, plus 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 24 months. Call 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com and make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast. Upgrade the look, feel, and value of your home with great new Window Nation windows. Window Nation is the best, and take advantage of the offer. 2 free windows for every 2 windows that you buy, plus 0 down, 0 interest, and 0 payments for 24 months. 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. That's 866-90-NATION or windownation.com. And make sure that you tell Window Nation that you want the deal that you heard about from Al Galdi on the Nats Chat podcast.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/BlueWire. Just go to Indeed.com/BlueWire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/BlueWire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
Right-hander delivers, breaking ball, hit in the air to deep left down the line. This one way back, going, gone, goodbye. Bang, zoom goes Lane Thomas. Straightaway left field, a line drive home run. It's his first of the year. It's now Washington 5 and San Francisco 1.
Trey Lipscomb had been struggling, had a good game late night on Monday night. Hopefully that gets him going. Lane Thomas had been struggling, but he in this game on Monday night, very good for a third consecutive game. He's hot all of a sudden. Thomas, as an ad starting right fielder and number three batter, 3-for-5 with a two-run homer, an RBI single, and another single. Thomas, in the top of the first, had a two-out single to left field. Thomas, in that Nats three-run fifth, a one-out, two-run homer to left field for a 5-1 Nats lead. And Thomas, in the Nats two-run ninth, RBI single through the left side of the infield for a 7-1 Nats lead, despite having been down at 1.02. This guy could not buy a hit, and now it feels like he can't make an out. He has been really good these last three games.
2-for-28 to start the season with 8 strikeouts. Since then, 7-for-11, a couple of walks, obviously the home run, some stolen bases, and 0 strikeouts in these last three games. Now, I think some of it we mentioned a few days ago. I thought there was some bad luck. He was hitting the ball hard, had a good line drive percentage, and just wasn't having anything to show for it. But I think also there's a little bit of a timing issue that he started to figure out, getting his front foot down, getting out in front of it a little more and hitting the ball with some authority. That home run was a laser off the bat. He sat back on a curveball over the plate, and it was out of the yard in about, 1.5 seconds. He hit it that hard. Lane mentioned that, like, the season will start, and as much as you've seen spring training pitching, it's just not the same thing, depending on who you're facing, but also just being in a big league game, in a big league stadium. Your heart rate starts to go up, things start speeding up on you, and sometimes it takes a few days to get back into that rhythm of it. I wasn't all that worried about him. I don't think he was either. And here, from what we've seen the last few days, you hope he can keep this up, because we've seen when he gets hot, he can stay hot for a long time. And remember last year, his April was rough. He didn't hit a home run the entire month, and then he took off starting in May. Here we are on April 8th. If he's already started to figure this out and minimizing that slump that he was into just the first, 7 games of the season, that's a great sign if he can get going now and we're not talking about, a whole month that he didn't look right at the plate, if it's only a week this time.
Yeah, and I said this on the last installment of the podcast. I think we've seen enough now of Lane Thomas. There's enough of a body of work to where he deserves a benefit of the doubt. He has proven himself to be a good hitter. Not a great hitter, but a good hitter. And so if he gets off to slow start, you don't like that, but that's okay. And I think you're more than justified to have the feeling of he'll figure this out. And sure enough, it looks like he's figuring this out. And I do want to salute Ildemar Vargas. I bet if you injected Davey Martinez with Truth Serum, Ildemar is one of Davey's favorite players. I've always had that sense with Ildemar Vargas. And he is a guy who, when called upon these last few seasons, has come through a bunch. And with CJ Abrams out, Vargas on Monday night as an at starting shortstop and number 7 batter, 1-for-2 with an RBI double, an RBI walk, and 2 other walks. 3 walks for Vargas in this game. He and the Nats 3-run second, drew a 1-out walk. He and the Nats 3-run fifth, had a 2-out RBI double to deep right field for a 6-1 Nats lead. Vargas in the top of the 8th drew a 1-out walk. Now, he did get thrown out in his attempt to advance from first to third on that Trey Lipscomb 1-out single up the middle, but Vargas in that Nats a 2-run 9th, a 2-out bases loaded walk for an 8-1 Nats lead. Good stuff here from Vargas. Like I said, it feels like when he's been called upon these last few years, he's come through more often than not. As some may recall, his name actually came up leading up to the trade deadline last year in terms of interest from other teams. A guy who can play a bunch of positions. Is he an everyday player? Probably not, but he can come through, and he did a good job in this game.
You are right in thinking that Davey loves him, because he absolutely does. And the reasons, though, that he loves him. Number one, plays great defense all the time, no matter what position he's at. Number two, has a ton of energy. He's the guy who gets everybody going. On a morning after a night game, he was full of energy in the clubhouse, sort of the Gerardo Parra, as it were. But beyond that, he doesn't do anything spectacular. We know that. He's not a great hitter in the bigger picture, but he plays a good professional brand of baseball. If he makes an out, it's just because he's overmatched. It's not because he didn't have the right plan. It's not because he didn't know what he was doing out there. He makes the smart plays, throws to the right bases, all that kind of stuff that you need from a bench player. Really, for that role that he holds, it's exactly what you want. Now, the more that he plays, are the numbers going to go down? Probably so. And I think they will happily welcome C.J. Abrams back to the lineup, whether it's in the next day or if it does take longer than that. But it is nice to know that somebody like Vargas, when needed, can step in and at least give you some professional at-bats and obviously professional play in the field, all while maintaining a smile and cheering everybody up who's around him. I do think every team needs somebody like that, and it's why he's here and why they made a point to re-sign him before last season even ended. They knew that he had value to them in their minds. Even if you look at the stat sheet and you don't necessarily see it, they do believe he has a lot of value to this team.
Yeah, this was a good game for the Nats offensively. Here's all you need to know about the extent to which the Nats worked Giants pitching. K-Bert Ruiz drew two walks late night on Monday night. K-Bert Ruiz, who had 31 walks all of last regular season, 0 for 3, but two walks in this game. So when K-Bert's drawing walks, man, you're doing some good stuff in terms of plate discipline.
Yeah, we were actually looking forward to see if he might even get a third walk, which would be the first time in his career. He's never done that before. I was hoping maybe in that last at-bat he'd get one more. Did not, unfortunately, but good on him and all these guys for showing patience in a way that needed to be done. And yeah, the circumstances tonight called for it, given who they were facing and the situation he was in. But there's no reason you can't take that approach against other pitchers. Like you said, they did it not just against Snell, but against the relievers they faced after that as well.
Tim Shover is here to tell you about Game Time. Now that the Steven Strasburg saga has been settled, it's time to look ahead to the fifth anniversary celebration of the World Series as Houston comes to town April 19th through the 21st. Get a panoramic view of your seat on the Game Time app or website before you buy, so you can make sure you'll be satisfied on game day. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use code NATSCHAT for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Again, create an account and redeem code NATSCHAT for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
And the pitch, swing and a miss. Down goes Bailey, and that will do it. A Curly W's in the books as Bailey goes down swinging on three pitches against Matt Barnes to close it out. And the Nationals on the fields with the high fives and the fist pumps to celebrate a victory in the opening game of this nine-game road trip.
Well, we now are twice through the Nats' rotation in this regular season. Is it wrong to say that Trevor Williams has been the Nats' best starting pitcher so far? Trevor Williams, late night on Monday night, outdueled Blake Snell, although this wasn't much of a duel. Snell was not good. And look, Williams only lasted for five innings, but one run in five innings. He gave up three hits, which were two doubles and a single. He did issue three walks. He did have just two strikeouts. And if you look at his strikes versus balls, 81 pitches, 49 strikes, 32 balls. He was not dominant, but the run prevention was there. This is exactly what you're looking for from a number five starter. And this is off what he did in his first start of this regular season, that 5-3 win over the Pittsburgh Pirates at Nationals Park last Wednesday evening, two runs in five and a third innings. And I can't help but go back to last season. Trevor Williams, we know, ended up being quite bad last season, but first 11 starts last regular season, ERA a 3.93. And if you look at what he did with, say, the New York Mets in the 2022 season, he wasn't a bad pitcher. I mean, things really unraveled for him last year. June, July, August, September did not go well. And, you know, I guess maybe you could say, well, that's who he is. But his body of work suggests that he isn't that, that he's better than that. And who knows what'll happen this season, but he's done a good job over these first two starts. And you'd like to think that maybe what he did over those first 11 starts last regular season can be replicated to at least some degree here in this season.
Yeah, you certainly hope so. I know he hopes and the Nationals hope that just the fact that he pitched all last season, made all those starts and built up his innings in a way that he hadn't done in several years since he had been with the Pirates, that will put him in a better position now this year to maintain something into the summer. I think he wore down last year. It was pretty obvious. The hope would be that doesn't happen again this year. But I think it's also important that they came into this with the bar kind of low and say, hey, you don't have to be great. Give us five innings and give us a chance. And I think this is a good example of this tonight. You give up the one early run. I didn't really think it was his fault. It was kind of a fluky play, this little bloop double down the left field line. And then Jesse Winker tries to throw the runner out at second. The ball gets away and the runner from third scores. And that's the only thing he gave up. And you know, there was only one clean inning the rest of the way for him, but it never felt like he was in distress at all. He had a runner in scoring position here or there, but he calmly just went about his business and got the job done. And then you get through the fifth inning and he's at 81 pitches. And, you know, you could send him back out for the sixth, but you don't need to. Let him go his five innings, give you a chance and be happy about that. And I think after a year of seeing him, they know that's who he is. And that's fine if he can just be that. So two starts in, he's 2-0, a 2.61 ERA, and a 1.065 whip. Give him credit for that, absolutely. Hope he can keep it going, but also understand that he doesn't need to be any more than that. Don't try to squeeze something out of him that's not there. Let him be himself. And the key here is if you're getting innings from the other guys in the rotation, you saw that over the weekend, you had Mackenzie Gore go deeper in the game on Sunday, then now the bullpen is fresh to the extent that you can pull an effective starter after five innings and not try to force that issue to get more out of him in this one.
And we are perhaps now starting to see Davey Martinez push it a little bit with relievers. We saw Derek Law toss two innings on Monday night. That's not something we've seen with any kind of frequency so far this season. And that's reliever going more than an inning, let alone two innings. And that's bullpen in this game was good. Three Nats relievers combined for four scoreless innings. Law tossed a two scoreless innings with three strikeouts. Dylan Floro, a perfect bottom of the eighth. And Matt Barnes, who went to UConn, tossed a scoreless bottom of the ninth on the night on which UConn won the NCAA tournament in men's basketball for a second consecutive season. Do you think the UConn connection played any role in Davey going to Barnes to finish out this game?
I think the circumstances set it up very nicely to have that little poetic ending. And I don't know how he was getting word of what was going on, but I am quite certain that Matt Barnes in the bullpen knew exactly what was going on. I think the basketball game ended around the sixth or seventh inning, if I remember right. So that gave him ample time to celebrate that and then refocus on getting ready to pitch the ninth inning. And he was very much in a good mood, all smiles after this one. That's a good night for Mr. UConn, Matt Barnes.
Yeah, and this Nats win was like that UConn win over Purdue. It was like every UConn win over these last two NCAA tournaments, an easy win. I mean, UConn won every game the last two NCAA tournaments by at least 13 points. Only time that's ever happened. And we had a similar thing with the Nats in this game in terms of like a zero drama win. It's hard to remember having a lot of these last few years. You know, when the Nats win, it's usually close and you got to grind it out. And, you know, sometimes they have to come back. This was a nice, stress-free evening. If you're Davey Martinez, I hope that he enjoyed it. I'm sure that he did.
Yeah, the best part of this one, Hunter Harvey, Kyle Finnegan never had to move a muscle in the bullpen. No even thought of, well, maybe they need to start getting stretched out just in case. No, did not happen at all. That's the kind of game they need more often. And you know who wound up playing UConn the toughest this year in the tournament? That'd be my Northwestern Wildcats, who only lost by 16. We'll forget about the fact they were trailed by 30 at one point. But all told, in the six tournament games, Northwestern was the only team that outscored UConn in a half of basketball. They did it in the second half of that game. Garbage time, but hey, we don't care. We'll take that. And we beat Purdue, the team that lost the national championship. So transitive property, I want some credit for what Northwestern did this year.
I love it. And I'll tout my alma mater right now. The last Big Ten team to win a national championship, the last team currently in the Big Ten to win a national championship remains Maryland in 2002 with Purdue losing on Monday night. So there you go. If my team is not going to make the tournament, at least I can cling to that. Game two for the Nats at the Giants, Tuesday night, 9:45. Josiah Gray will be the Nats' starting pitcher. We all know that Trevor Williams is the tone setter in this Nats rotation. So can Josiah Gray follow the lead of Trevor Williams? It has not been a good start to this regular season for Josiah Gray. He could use a good outing and hopefully he gets one on Tuesday night. But, you know, Giants are not a bad team. Didn't look good in this game on Monday night, but this will be a test for Josiah Gray.
Yeah, he needs a good start in the worst way. You do not want to let this thing start to snowball. And now you've got larger questions about what's really going on here with him. Got to keep the ball in the zone, avoid those walks, those long innings and high pitch counts. And, you know, this is a good ballpark to pitch in if you want to keep the ball in the yard. It's very hard, especially at night, to hit the ball out. And so maybe that plays into his hands. You can be successful as a fly ball pitcher at Oracle Park because there's so much room out there as long as you don't let him hit it straight down the right field line into McCovey Cove. So if you're Josiah Gray, go into this and be aggressive. Make them beat you. Don't help them out. There's no reason to nibble around the outer parts of the zone. Go after them. Force them to beat you, and maybe he can get on the win column after two rough starts to start his season.
Well, we have a very special shout out that we want to deliver right now, and this is a pretty entertaining one. A very happy birthday to DC native and national super fan Jim from his sons Ethan and Caleb. Jim, your sons hope that you have forgiven them for missing Steven Strasburg's debut to attend Ethan's sixth grade graduation, just as they have forgiven you for making them leave early and miss Ronnie Belliard's walk-off home run in June 2008. Looking forward to sharing many more Nats memories with you, whether at the park or in front of the TV. Go Nats! Extra props to Ethan for listening to us all the way in Dublin, Ireland. Thank you very much for that, Ethan, and happy birthday, Jim. And boy, does this bring up a very interesting question. Son's sixth grade graduation or Steven Strasburg's debut? You have a young son, I have a young son. I'm not sure what the right call is in a circumstance like that.
I do know I have missed some very important life events in order to cover ball games. That is my job. I don't know if I could get away with that if it was not. But man, Steven Strasburg, once in a lifetime chance to watch him make his major league debut. We know how that all turned out versus, I mean, not even high school graduation, sixth grade graduation, right? Yeah, I'm not so sure about that. And then what was the Ronnie Belliard walk-off? We're not holding any grudges here all these years later, still talking about a Ronnie Belliard walk-off that was missed against the Orioles, I think, in 2008. Wow.
Well, in those days, you had to savor whatever you could in terms of good things with the Nats. So 2008, Ronnie Belliard hits a walk-off homer. That sticks with you, man. Trust me, that absolutely is with you. But great stuff. Happy birthday, Jim. And thank you to Ethan and Caleb for that shout-out. You tell us what you think. Hit us up on X at Nats_chat. You can email the show, natschatpodcast@gmail.com. You can find us on YouTube. Just search Nats Chat. Our YouTube handle is at Nats Chat Podcast. We have a website that we invite you to check out, natschatpodcast.com, in which you can buy a Nats Chat Podcast t-shirt. All Nationals radio highlights on Nats Chat are courtesy of 106.7 The Fan. For Mark Zuckerman, I'm Al Galdi. We thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next time on the Nats Chat Podcast.
Here's the pitch. Swinging a ground ball toward the hole. Threw into left field, a base hit. Young scores from third. Winker to second will stop there. Lane Thomas drives in his third run of the game with his third hit of the game, scoring Jacob Young. And it's now the Nationals 7 and the Giants 1.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.